venerable sirs and friends. Yesterday evening, Sharon shared with us some of her extreme experiences. She spoke about her experiences in the slums of Calcutta, with which I also am somewhat familiar, and also her experience in the Sydney Opera House, which I've seen at least from a distance. And while she was speaking, I couldn't help remembering a few of my own extreme experiences, some occurring quite a while ago and some even very recent. Those of you who've taken the trouble to read the biographies of the teachers may have noticed that under my own biography it says, in part, after the war he stayed on in India and adopted the life of a wandering ascetic, travelling on foot from place to place and meeting and talking with many eminent spiritual teachers. For this was indeed an extreme experience. Yes, I was a wandering ascetic, a freelance wandering ascetic. That was before I took any Buddhist ordination, though I was actually a Buddhist at that time. I wore very simple yellow, what in the West we call them robes, which conveys altogether the wrong sort of impression. Robes are something rather grand, something splendid. Huh? But these were just two pieces of yellow cloth. Huh? In fact, there were two pieces of white cloth that I dyed myself with gerua mati, which is a sort of earth which is used by Indian ascetics to dye their robes, sorry, to dye their clothing. Hmm? And didn't have any money, walked from place to place. Of course, I was shaven-headed, though after a while I let my hair grow. It grew right down to my shoulders and it looked, I think, really quite wild. Huh? I was very young then, of course. And yes, I had all sorts of very interesting, extreme experiences. Sometimes slept in ashrams, sometimes slept on people's verandas, sometimes slept on railway station platforms, sometimes slept at the side of the road. And yes, that was quite an extreme experience, and one which I still cherish and remember with great affection. And of course the other extreme is, well, staying here. Huh? quite a contrast. But anyway, we won't say anything more about that. Huh? But just to revert for a moment to my life as a wandering ascetic, you can imagine I couldn't carry very much with me. In fact, for most of that time, I had a very small cloth bag which contained my total worldly possessions. A small towel, a small brass pot for what Indians always call one's ablutions, and one or two books. Perhaps for me, the most ascetic part of that ascetic experience was being limited to one or two books, because by nature I'm a great reader. I love reading. I read all the time. I read far too much. I'm sure my Zen friends would strongly disapprove of this, at least to the extreme that I carry it. I had just these one or two books. I'd started off with a small library, but even a small library is very heavy. So it had been reduced eventually to one or two books. And one of these books was the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada has always been one of my very most favorite Buddhist texts. Some people tend to skip it over. They think it's rather simple, rather elementary. But it is far from that. The little verses are pregnant with meaning, sometimes with very deep meaning, and the meaning is always very, very relevant. The Dhammapada, though I was acquainted with it before, was in fact the very first Buddhist text that I acquired on my arrival in India in 1944, which is exactly 50 years ago. And I remember where I bought it. I bought it in the Buddha Vihara in New Delhi, which I afterwards visited as a monk a number of times. And I carried that dog-eared little volume around with me for years and years and years, and I referred to it constantly. So when I was thinking about this talk, when I was trying to grapple with this very recondite topic that we'd been allotted for this conference, my thoughts turned to the Dhammapada. And my thoughts turned to a verse in which the Buddha says that it is happiness to meet with good people. Happiness to meet with good people. And he goes on to give a comparison. The Buddha says, meeting with good people is like meeting with kinsfolk. Meeting, that is to say, with one's nearest and dearest. Now, of course, in our modern age, meeting with kinsfolk isn't necessarily a happy experience. You know, things have rather changed, it seems, since the Buddha's day. But let's take it that meeting with good people is like meeting with kinsfolk. But I think it's an even greater happiness to meet with good people when those good people happen to be fellow Buddhists. And I'm therefore very happy to be here today and to be taking part in this conference. I'm happy to have the opportunity of speaking on the nature of reality, Buddhism as transformation. I'm happy to have an opportunity of emphasizing the transformational potential of the Buddhist view of reality on our everyday lives.